So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So I wonder whether the words Thriller, Billie Jean, and Bad mean anything to you. Well, in case you don't know, these are songs by Michael Jackson, who is often referred to as the King of Pop. I found out a few things about him this week. At the time of his death in 2009, Michael Jackson was reportedly worth around $500 million. However, he was thought to have debts in that amount also, from his years of extravagant spending to maintain his lifestyle. Over the course of his career, Michael Jackson earned lots of money from his album sales. He recorded 10 studio albums, one live album, 34 compilation albums, and 7 remix albums. And his classic album, Thriller, has sold 33 million copies and is one of the best-selling albums of all time. So Michael Jackson made a good amount through touring and product endorsements as well. But he also spent a lot of his fortune, including millions, on the upkeep of his Neverland Ranch. He spent money also on expensive automobiles, antiques, art, public relations, and of course we've heard legal fees too. After his death, Michael Jackson's estate continues to make money, even to this day, and will continue to do so far into the future. It reportedly earned $74 million in 2015 from publishing rights and the star's merchandiser, Triumph International. According to sources, in 2016, the estate made another $750 million when it sold its remaining stake in a music catalogue to Sony. And in 2017, Michael Jackson was number one on the list of top earning dead celebrities for the fifth year in a row. So during Michael Jackson's life, he was in debt. And yet, it was only when he died was he able to pay all that he owed. And I think there's something here about being worth more dead than alive. Michael Jackson lived a life of absurd luxury, and yet he was never truly happy. I believe this is because he hadn't found Jesus and the kingdom of God. Jesus is making a point in our gospel reading this morning from Luke. Someone in the crowd asked Jesus to help divide a family inheritance fairly amongst two brothers. However, Jesus warns the person and the crowd not to let greed get the better part of them. Then Jesus tells a parable. It's often called the parable of the rich fool. This parable concerns a rich man who wants to build a bigger barn to store his abundance of crops. And then he feels he will have ample goods laid up for many years, so he can relax, eat, drink, be merry. Then God, rather rudely it seems, calls him a fool and tells him that this night his life is going to be demanded of him. I think that means he's going to die. And then he's cause to think about what will happen to his riches. We're reminded not to store up treasures for ourselves, but to be rich towards God. I wonder what this means in practice. Well, I think there are three ways we can store up treasures for ourselves, and those three ways are things we must avoid. Number one is that we must avoid the obsessive need to accumulate. And that means accumulating wealth and things. I should say here that there's nothing inherently wrong with wealth at all. It's okay to have money. It's okay to have money stored up in your bank account. God's the one who gives generously and gives people success, resources, and money. But when we become more concerned about the gifts rather than the giver, possessions then become toxic and pointless. Obsession with wealth ruins our relationship with God and with other people, because really we are worshipping wealth and accumulation rather than God. It's a form of idolatry. God cares more about the conditions of our hearts than the condition of our wallets and bank accounts. That's why he shows us what's best for us and for our possessions. The second thing we need to be careful of is that we need to make sure we're stockpiling what's valuable in heaven, not on earth. So if our stuff, the things we accumulate, stays here, what treasure will we have in heaven? There must be a difference between our possessions and what's valuable in God's economy. Our time on earth is temporary. We're not here for that long. And we're all headed to eternity in heaven. So we can make the most of everything now and prepare for an eternity with God later by listening to Jesus and doing what he says. And the final thing we need to be aware of is that our eternal perspective affects our earthly priorities. What do I mean by that? Well, what's valuable both now and in eternity is what God cares about. And these things include treating people well, forgiving and showing loyalty, loving one another. We're meant to use possessions and love people, not love possessions and use people. Our eternal perspectives affect our earthly priorities. We can choose to focus on our lives, on temporary wealth, but God offers us treasure that lasts forever. A relationship with him that begins here on earth and continues for eternity in heaven. What will we benefit if we give up on what really matters to get a few more possessions here on earth? Well, nothing is worth more than knowing Jesus. I hope you all agree with that. St. Paul reminds us, when writing to the Colossians, to seek things that are above, where Christ is, not on things that are on earth. So we must put to death all our earthly greed and desire. All our debts have been voided by Jesus' death on the cross. So unlike Michael Jackson, we already have our debts and trespasses paid for us here on earth because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We don't need earthly possessions because our Father in heaven has wiped away the need for things on earth to give us true joy. The joy we can truly know is with the Father in heaven, and that is where we are all headed. So let's live in that joy today and always. Amen.